mi alma llevo yo.
The band is Zarok, and this album was actually recorded in California. The album is called Triloka. No, actually, I'm sorry. Triloka is the record company. The album is self-titled, called Zarok. And we just heard a Spanish language song there called Tierra del Sur, Land of the South. You're in tune for just about another minute to what's left. Linda P is expected back from her vacation next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Goodman. You can hear me again on Tuesday morning between the hour of 6 and 8. My program usually starts at 7 a.m. It's called Thickly Settled, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love My Neighbor. That's Tuesday mornings from 7 to 8, but I usually get here at 6 and play some tunes if you're interested. Music for Human Beings is next, right up after this important message.
Renee, hurry, open up the door, I got something to tell you.
Wait a minute. How did you get over here so fast? Did you fly?
No, just be quiet. You got to hear this story about this man I met. He was at Flash's last week, and girl, he has his own radio show. Listen.
Oh, yeah? And who is he?
Wait, I'll tell you later. Just listen. He's on now.
Special Occasions, aiming that song right there. Home is where you belong, and it is officially going down, and right here is where you definitely belong. WMBR Cambridge.
Wow, first his voice sounds...
No, that's not him. I wonder where he is tonight. He's supposed to be on every Sunday night, 10 to midnight. Playing smooth R&B love songs, some jazz.
So what is he all about? Let me get some wine and hear this story. This ought to be good.
WMBR Cambridge, first on your FM dial.
For your pleasure, Sunday nights, 10 to midnight. WMBR Cambridge, 88.1 FM and WMBR.org.
مرحباً. I am a doctor, جالس سكران. And I welcome you. It is with the obstinance of a goat that I am pleased to greet you. We are joined this evening by Aurora. Aurora, marhaban.
Namaste. And thank you for allowing me once more to partake in this glorious tradition on such a glorious day.
The day is made only more glorious by the tradition and you being here.
And you as well.
Aurora is a vocal therapist and a musical therapist.
Well, I am attempting to branch out into the field of musical therapy. At the moment, I would only say that I am a musical companion.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here with us. We are also joined by Zoro, the numerologist. Zoro, marhaban.
Welcome, and welcome to all the listeners out there as well, of course.
Yes, welcome. We are pleased to welcome those who welcome. And chief among them is Erno. Erno, marhaban.
Thank you, doctor. I greet you with the obstinate bleats of a goat.
And may the greeting always be there also for you, Erno. Erno, of course, a journeyer.
Yes, I travel much. I have seen many things. And chief among them, strange that you bring it up, is the goat. For it is everywhere.
Yes, it is quite the obstinate creature, yes. Much like you say, very stubborn.
Yes, on every continent you find them.
And in every mountain.
Bleating their hearts away.
And yet, are we not all stubborn goats and travelers, interacting with other bleeding stubborn goats and travelers?
There are some of us who I believe are also sheeps.
And yet, traditionally, when we have a bad feeling or a negative relationship with a deity or with another person, it is the goat that we first approach with the curved knife. So I wonder if perhaps later in the program we all could collect these negative feelings if they are present, and we could sharpen them into a knife and slaughter a goat physically. No, I mean metaphysically.
This is possible. I think maybe another point of view on this situation is perhaps we can think of ourselves as the sheep and shore ourselves.
Now, do we literally kill a goat metaphysically or figuratively kill a goat metaphysically?
That will be determined with time. Something that I think we will leave
up to some chance, yes.
Or perhaps as the...
And to the feeling of the moment.
Precisely. As the fancy may strike, we would therefore choose either to construct a figurative goat, which we would slaughter literally, or a figurative slaughtering for the literal goat.
I think I would also be in favor of a figurative slaughter of a figurative goat.
Maybe a literal slaughter of a metaphysical goat.
all of these and more are options that are afforded to us.
I do like the idea of imagining ourselves as sheep and then shearing our wool off, but I am trying to imagine what the most productive wool that we can shear off in the metaphysical sense, what that could possibly be. For as we all know, wool has many purposes. It is a rain repellent. It can make a very nice sweater. Or it can be used to stuff a pillow.
Why would we want to shear off our wool? I don't follow.
Well, wool is to a sheep. For example, a sheep that is bred for wool purposes enjoys its wool during the winter. But if you do not shear the sheep, then the sheep shall grow larger and larger until it can no longer walk. And we do not want our souls to become so burdened.
So the wool represents bad things that grow on our soul.
Actually, I think it is quite the opposite. I think that the wool, it makes for something which we may take to use, which we may carry around for some time and harbor, if you will, but that its ultimate purpose is to be given from one person to another or used to accomplish a goal. I think that our wool is something of our desires, our hopes, perhaps our feelings for other human beings.
Maybe our wool is the raw material of our soul, which then we are called upon to shear off and work and manufacture into something more, a coat.
See,
a coat for our soul.
This is a beautiful image to me. As
a solar coat.
It implies that our souls are always growing, always expanding, which I believe is the case when one has a child, for example. One's heart grows to fill all of that love for that child. And one allows oneself to become one with humanity. One grows to expand, to fill humanity. But perhaps if all of us experienced humanity at once, perhaps that would be an excess. And our souls would expand so far that we could no longer function.
Yes, one can imagine something of the sheep which live in too close of company, and their wool, it grows into each other, and they are stuck. I think it is very much so.
I very much appreciate this this concept of the solar coat. This concept, I think, similarly to those of the lunar, but one that I wonder about is the sidereal coat.
And what exactly is sidereal?
I believe it has something to do with if you take the coat and remove its revolution from the rest of humanity, you will see that it is slightly different.
Also, this brings to mind the phases. A lunar coat, perhaps, is one which waxes and wanes.
No, I believe that the lunar coat is something which you will cover your lune with, yes.
Maybe a solar coat has spots, like the sun.
It seems quite possible, yes.
The spotted solar coat, it is one that offers, I think, a lot of protection, a lot of light. It is attractive, it is entertaining, but likewise, it is a risky coat to wear. There are damages, there are risks, and there are also hurts and harms and damages.
It is certainly something more aggressive, that if you wear it, then it flares up to to somewhat attack another person, it could damage them.
Well, I was considering today the human tragedy, and this brings this to mind. The Solar Code, as you said, involves many risks, temperamentalism, emotions that are not necessarily in balance. And yet, are we not each individually doomed to experience this balance? This imbalance? Are we not all doomed to have to fall into these risky behaviors? Nothing that someone who has years of experience can say can keep us from following in those footsteps.
I think I understand what you're saying. There is a lot of, temptation with this solar code, and perhaps it is inevitable that we are led to use it and such that it may abuse us.
In the stages, the later stages of life, they are, I believe, like the sunset, the glorious, beautiful sunset of human existence, where you are beginning to cool down and to show the serenity of your soul. But yet does not everyone need to experience that rise, that early morning burn, that noon highness? That is life.
I think it is similar to what we were hearing about in the program before. This idea of astrophysics, of finding oneself consumed at the end of a quantum rainbow. And that also brings to my mind the idea of the rainbow coat, the coat that is composed of the rainbow fiber.
Well, I am not quite sure how to perceive this quantum rainbow. Perhaps you or our numerologist can explain this image further.
Well, there is something you know of the multicolored coat. It is mentioned, I believe, the coat of many colors in some of the historical texts. Quite a potent coat.
It often appears, at least in my visions and in my experience, as a motorized coat.
Yes, and I believe that it is constructed something of a unicorn or something like this. Perhaps it is the mane or the tail, I cannot tell. I am not quite the expert at fabrics, but I have seen some representations of such a coat put to paper, and it is quite beautiful. I am not an expert on how to utilize it, but very potent indeed.
Well, is there any significance, any specific number of colors or shades or combinations?
I once had a friend who had a rainbow coat that was made out of part of the rainbow. Only a small part, mind you. The coat was blue. But it was yet a rainbow coat.
And I think this is an important distinction to make, because aren't we all multifaceted when we say that I'm wearing a coat and it is made from human fiber, or it is made from, a certain type of fur? We are not specifically referring that, the indication is not, as you say, Erno, that it is made from all of humanity's fiber, or indeed of all of a single human's fiber, all of every type of fiber, but merely that perhaps it is woven from the underarm hair of Colombian fiber.
Yes, it is something that you are referring to the source, but not the whole of it.
Precisely. When I say this is my planet and my home, it is not indicating that it is my home to the exclusion of you, but merely that it is really mine.
Well, perhaps this explains the intense array of feelings that a human can experience when seeing a rainbow. I mean, it's all of the human colors mixed together at once, painted across the sky in this beautiful arc.
Well, yes, and we know that the source of the rainbow, if you study it from the scientific perspective, which perhaps is incomplete in some respects, but the rainbow comes from the sun and the sunbeams, and so do we. We come from the stars. And I think it is appropriate that we see ourselves in the rainbow and vice versa.
It is possibly important for us to understand what the different colors mean to ourselves individually, because then we can begin to understand the colors of our souls, of our auras.
Yes, I think this is quite an important exercise. I might offer some personal advice. You may take it however you like, but it is a ritual which I have completed many times and find quite fulfilling. Perhaps if you like, you may focus on a color. Choose not the color which you prefer the most. Choose not the color which you hate. But choose a color which is unfamiliar to you, which you see and you're not sure how you think of it. And just take a little bit of time, perhaps 10 or 15 minutes, and meditate on what it must be like to be that color. I think it is good that if you do this, you will get to know the colors and you will become, shall we say, sympathetic with their alignments. And over time, you will find you do this with every color and begin to appreciate the facets of emotions. The whole rainbow, if you will.
It's a beautiful suggestion.
Now, this brings to my mind a terrible, terrible but wonderful era in my own life. Excuse me. When I lived with a teacher who was, I think it took me a long time to find his wisdom, because I was told it was manifest. He's a wise guy. And it took me many years. I lived with him. And his garden was a very unusual garden. From the garden, he was able to gather all of his own vegetables and clothing. His garden was a rainbow of colors. There was the red, and there was the yellow. There were the other colors also, and then blue, which I found very surprising, because it is not a common color in foods or in flowers, but it was a breeding which he had accomplished after many, many years. I realized my teacher was an old man. After many years, I studied and learned, reasoned, buried myself in studying and learning and reasoning, spent many, many nights sleeping in the garden, focused on these colors, the color of my aura that you mentioned earlier, moving throughout the garden, moving from one area of the garden to another, searching for his wisdom. After many, many difficult tests, a lot of challenging growth, I realized the location of his wisdom. But there was very little wisdom there. I was very surprised. He was not wise at all.
Well, what was he?
How did he plant the garden?
I think he just had a lot of gardeners like me, people who were, you know, unwittingly involved in some sort of spiritual life cycle for these weird flowers.
So you think perhaps that he, in a manner of speaking, seduced you?
Well, I think he was simply the focal point of a circumstance which was wise, perhaps even cleverly designed, but ultimately he was not the exponent of wisdom.
I'm very, very sorry.
Perhaps what he was gardening was not fruit and vegetables, but gardeners.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Unfortunately, after many years, I met others of his former gardeners, his unwitting students.
Did they go out and then start their own gardens?
No, they all left very angry because they had wasted decades sometimes, sometimes many decades, more than one, in his garden, moving around, fertilizing plants and moving things, and all without realizing how they were the unintentional victims of a foolish person.
So all of them
arranged that they would psychically try to make out of him the master that they had wished for him to be. And instantly he perished with the amount of psychic energy that was poured into him like a hammer to the back of the skull. And unfortunately, his garden remains.
If the master gardener was so foolish, I wonder, did the apprentice gardeners, did they end up trying to grow plants that didn't exist? I can imagine this being a common scenario.
Yeah, I think like my search for wisdom, every gardener, as we put it, was there searching for his own answer. One may have been searching for a cure to a particular skin ailment.
Now, I think that the beauty of this story lies in the result all of these apprentice gardeners joined together to attempt to create the person that they felt existed before. And in attempting to better this man, all that they could accomplish was his demise.
Yes. Doctor, maybe the real lesson in your story is that wisdom cannot be found in one particular person, but that wisdom is found in the group, in the collective consciousness. It is your interaction with the other apprentice gardeners, the other apprentice gardeners you met at the local gardening conventions. Together, you held the knowledge, and when you came together, you realized that that is where wisdom lied.
That seems true to me, because you point out in the beginning that there is something of a nexus of the wisdom. The wisdom is real. It is simply not in the man who you expected. It is within the whole.
There is something there. I have often wondered what lessons may have been gained by myself, by my companions, and by the master gardener at this moment. I've always wondered if the master gardener himself experienced in that brief instant before, like an explosion of knowledge massage, his brain momentarily flashed with the greatest wisdom ever experienced by a person or by a being, or if simply we learned that this massive collection of desire, denial, and psychic energy was capable of tragic disaster.
Well, I think myself that I am not convinced that there is a difference between perfect knowledge and perfect ignorance. And so it may be difficult to say that the two possibilities are separate.
Perhaps the best gardener is the one who knows that he has no idea how to grow plants.
I cannot think of any fruit other than the blueberry that is blue.
I think even the blueberry is violet.
Perhaps it's indigo.
a blueberry to the external, appears to be blue, but when you mash it up, it is purple.
Then there would be some red in there as well. Perhaps we should, instead of calling the blueberry, we call it the rainbow berry. It is a mix.
And it is yellow on the inside.
One of the amazing miracles and great amazing miracles of the garden was the presence of a tree which had apples on the tree. All year there were apples, and there was the blossom of the apple, the unripened fruit, the ripe fruit, the fermented fruit, all on the same tree constantly. And this is one of the incredible results of one of my predecessors at the garden, and I think one which also has a lot of meaning. One of the trees that fascinated me most, I can still in my mental nose remember the smell of the fermented apple, which was, it smelled like rotten apple, and then mixed with it the smell of the fresh apple, the unripened apple, which had a very sharp but a very, very subtle scent. And then behind it and overpowering it also was the apple blossom itself, which with its extremely subtle and pungent odor of apple. So it all together was very apple-y. And this smell coming from one tree all year. So that was that, and then I moved. So anyway, if you'd like to call in, the number is 617-253-8810, symbolizing again the tree, the listener becoming also the person who is listened to, the listenee.
Yes, perhaps we can hear your perspective on a color which you appreciate or have some kind of a grudge against.
And I still, you know, saving this for slightly later in the program, would like it if we were able to, with your collective agreement, able to slaughter the goat.
That would be amazing.
I think with the appropriate level of literalism, yes.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. I forget. Why are we slaughtering a goat?
Because, for many reasons. I think primarily because, you know, and bless all of us, whatever that might mean, because we are carrying with us so much strength and power and energy, positive energy, but simultaneous with this, in a state of coming at the same exact time, we all carry with us some portion of negativity, of confusion, of discomfort, of a simple dreadfulness, and I would like it if we could all aggregate this into a single goat, which we would then do murder unto. Whether physically, literally, or otherwise, to dispose of these feelings and then to consume them later.
I must admit that I have brought with me some great sadness into the studio.
So that's exactly the sort of thing that we could slaughter later.
And that would perhaps bring me great relief.
Yeah, I would think.
What type of sadness are you pouring into the goat, Aurora?
I am pouring white, sparkly sadness, wet, cold sadness.
So we're going to have to leave out the white sadness because, right, the rainbow goat.
Ah, yes, but the white is the accumulation of all of the colors of the goat. It is the goat rainbow white sadness. See, this white that I speak of, it is multifaceted. If you see it from any angle, you see these little sparks of color. But when you back up, and look at it from far away, you see vast, cold, white.
Well, in my mind, before the sadness can be poured into the rainbow goat, it must be separated. So we'll use the prism of discussion and no more white sadness. Mm.
Well, I think that we can contribute, perhaps from all of us, a bit the sadness which is somewhat blue in nature. As accordance to the fruit which we cannot bear.
Let's all meditate on that fruit and welcome our first caller. Again, if you'd like to join, 617-253-8810. Marhaban, caller.
Hello?
Welcome, caller.
Yes. So I'm wondering, why is it the goat that you're pouring the sadness into? Why don't you pick some other animal?
Do you have a suggestion, caller? One that would be better?
I don't know.
Well, caller, let me throw this on. I think partially it is tradition. In the ancient cultures, there are always the traditional goat or sheep, but always a hoofed quadruped which is slaughtered to take on the blame for something which has been committed.
The scapegoat.
And so, simply in English, this is the word used for a lamb which has been slaughtered in this place. But, as you point out, there are reasons to break with history. So, we could also consider slaughtering a pork or a beef or also slaughtering a vegetable of some fashion of vegetable.
Now, caller, if you reach into yourself, into the sadness and unhappiness in your life,
okay,
and it had to take some shape, some living form, what do you think it would look like?
I think it would look like an alpaca.
And personally, I mean, you need not answer this question if it is too personal, but I would like to know what color it is.
It is. The alpaca is slightly orange.
The slightly orange scape alpaca, which we will...
A scalpaca.
The scalpaca, which we will slaughter mentally later.
Now, the color orange to me has always evoked feelings of slight rage, some feelings of dissettled energy. Now, to you, what does the color orange speak?
The color orange to me, it speaks half, it's kind of half bright, half dark. It has its goods and bads. You can see it either way. To me, that's the beauty of the color orange.
Now, normally, the sacrificed scapegoat, or in this case, scalpaca, is eaten by those who sacrifice. Is an alpaca an animal that one would enjoy eating? I'm not familiar with the species.
Because I'm a vegetarian, so I would not eat the alpaca after I sacrifice it.
Perhaps you should sacrifice a vegetable then. Something else that begins with an A.
If I had to sacrifice a vegetable, I would probably sacrifice an eggplant.
A skate plant.
Well, I think the eggplant, it's beautiful also because, once again, to the casual observation, it is black. But upon closer examination than the casual one...
The internal examination you speak of?
No, the external one, it is violet. And the careless biologist may believe that a blue eggplant would be possible.
Well, coincidentally, I have experience in slaughtering eggplants. And the wonder of choosing such a plant is that you can roast it alive in your oven.
Yes. you can. There's lots of things you can do to an eggplant.
Oh, yes. And if you are encompassing within its walls all of your rage and misery, then roasting it in the oven, you can then rip it open, the husk, and out pours all of that negative emotion in a sort of slushy, soupy mess.
Now,
which is
Aurora,
very satisfying.
Aurora, I have consumed eggplant many, many times, but I have never cooked it myself. And I wonder, you describe this, and it draws to my mind a very graphic image. Does the eggplant, is there a scream, or otherwise, does it leave out any
essence?
Scream?
Well, usually, if you want a vegetable to scream, if you want to feel that evocation of a slaughtering, you should pan fry it.
Now, do you scramble it first?
Only if you have roasted it in the oven. Otherwise, it is in solid form.
The other option, of course, is to cultivate the scrambled egg plant itself.
So another option that comes to my mind now, and because, so frankly, I've slaughtered many, many things, but I think that there has to be an oral element. There has to be a sound, because there is a great release. I think that the ear is tightly coupled with the spiritual senses that permit this sort of release. So have any of you that have sacrificed vegetables considered making an instrument of some kind, perhaps an ocarina out of the vegetable before consuming it?
That is quite interesting. My personal ritual is to go with some kind of a chant, which one will prepare in advance.
A chant, I agree, it is essential, but I like the victim itself, the scape eggplant, also to produce its own tone.
Ah, but the amazing thing of this chant is that you may write it from the perspective of the eggplant. It is something of an ode.
I really do like this idea of the vegetable or the animal itself creating creating itself in its chamber, the somber notes of its demise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And caller, tell us, do you consume eggplant regularly? Is there a reason that specifically the vegetable eggplant would be your choice?
Not specifically. I actually think I chose that because I'm not that familiar with the eggplant. In the same sense of the color meditation you talked about earlier, which I tried and was very fulfilling.
Ah, I would like to know, what color did you choose?
I choose yellow.
Ah, yes. So, I mean, again, this is quite personal, but if you would like to share anything that you learned on this journey, I would love to hear it.
I'm fine. No, thank you.
All right.
I think that is a very excellent choice, because there is a tendency, I think, that too much could be revealed by this sort of thing.
Yes, it was a very deep journey.
But I think also it is somewhat revealing, caller, if you will forgive me, that you would slaughter the unfamiliar vegetable.
Yes,
that came to mind as me as well. For is it better to slaughter a stranger or to slaughter something that you know very, very well? And I think that depends on the circumstances. Sometimes you need something very familiar so you can meditate and become that thing and then slaughter it in that ritual.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah. Eggplant. So I think that we have 15 minutes left. It is time for us to gently begin focusing on a rainbow-colored eggplant goat.
A rainbow-colored eggplant goat.
The rainbow-colored goat eggplant being willing to absorb any negativity that we may send towards it, whatever energy may be in that negativity, other than white, because it has to be separated, but other colors could all be absorbed and the goat so willing to consume anything, really, tires or other shrubs and things, that it will eat all of it.
You know, I have a suggestion. Perhaps we can carry this out. I do not know if it is perhaps too emotionally involved, but perhaps we can produce together a tone, a group tone, to release this energy from us.
That would be very nice.
A group tone.
A chord.
A spiritual chord.
Perhaps we will manifest it with our voices. I don't know. It is simply a suggestion, but I am familiar, I think, with Aurora's expertise. I think we could accomplish this.
Well, the importance of the spiritual chord is to not fear cacophony or discord. Each individual must reach into themselves and into everyone around them and feel the note deep within themselves. Choose the note, embrace the note, and then gradually release the note.
What note does everyone choose?
The one that they feel most appropriate. You will find yourself choosing one almost automatically when you do reach out deep within.
I'm not a musician myself, Aurora, so you will have to help me. I know that notes have letters. Which one do you suggest?
Well, first off, as you listen to me speaking, attempt to hum in agreement.
Goat on hold.
No, we'll have both callers. Callers two, marhaban.
I think you guys are a little bit hung up on major chords there, man, for some new agers. I think you better clear your mind acoustically.
Excellent. Thank you for that, caller. I think a humming would be the best answer. It's a very release. Caller, are you still with us? So we've lost both of our callers. The number is 617-253-8810, and we have very little time remaining. In this time, we must pour all of our energy into the rainbow-colored eggplant yogurt goat. Caller, welcome back.
Yes, I'm sorry. I wasn't entirely sure when you brought on the new caller, if you still wanted me.
We always want you, caller.
Thank you. I feel very wanted and appreciated.
Yes, I think perhaps the problem was we focused all this emotional energy into the humming, if you will, and it becomes disruption in the emotional plane.
Well, I believe that this is perhaps... We are already concentrating on the goat, the rainbow-colored eggplant goat, absorbing all of our fears and all of our negativity. And perhaps to add singing on top of that is a bit much. So perhaps if we could go around and say the one word that we wish to feed the goat.
Or if I may, the one yes. color.
The one color, yes.
Shall I begin?
Do.
All of my negativity this evening is taking on a green hue.
Mm. Mine is perhaps magenta.
To the god, I would like to feed this word. This is my color, strumpet.
My color will be as I picked. No, not as I picked earlier. I'm not going to pick yellow. Eggplant, rainbow, goat. My color I picked for you is maroon.
And not to be too insistent, Erno, but would you like to contribute to the goat?
Yes, sure. I would like to add the color of blue, but not the blue of the eggplant, the blue of the berry that goes by the same name as the color. The rainbow blue we mentioned before, for I can't narrow down my anger to one specific color. The frustration has built inside me this week to record proportions.
So I think that we take these. Why don't we bring in another caller and get one more little bit of negative color? Caller, marhaban.
I'm going to toss a coin, and I want you to call it.
And do the sides of the coin represent different colors you wish to feed?
Okay.
The coin represents everything. You need to call it.
Well, I have to know what we are calling it for.
Everything.
And at which number may we reach this coin?
You need to call it. Just call it.
Okay, we choose heads. Let's bring on another caller. Caller, marhaban.
Hello?
Welcome, caller.
Hi. I wanted to thank you for having us all put our anger energy into a color. You know, traffic today has been really, really difficult.
And what color does your traffic anger?
Chartreuse.
Chartreuse. I'm sorry, so caller and or perhaps the hosts, what color is chartreuse similar to that I might know?
It is a demonic color.
a what color?
Demonic.
It's yellow or...
It is similar, I believe, to the mythological, the Satan.
So, red or reddish?
No, I mean in a matter of abstraction.
So I love
that you are offering these colors to.
We are offering these colors and trying to focus them all in. And caller, I love that you brought up the traffic because it seems the locus of so much negative energy. And let's try to pull on that also to bring that into the goat eggplant, which
did
is.
Did I choose a different hue?
A different hue?
No, your hue is perfectly fine.
No. The hue that you have chosen, I think, is certainly none of us may choose a hue for you. But I imagine all these various colors, the green and Aurora's color.
Green and yellow together makes like spring, which we think of underneath these icy barricades in which we drive in this city maze.
That is quite a poetic image. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And the maroon color and yes. the redder colors that the other hosts... The magenta color and the strumpet color.
And the blue.
All boring and twisting and combining and... If we all close our eyes temporarily, we can just imagine this dark goat with curled horns walking on the mountain. And look, there is snow and the path is narrow. There is ice there, The goat is evil. All of our energies have been poured into it, and it slips. Oops. And with relief, the goat has died.
The goat has fallen?
Yeah, it died. It fell.
Well, that was quite the experience. Thank you very much for leading us in that.
It's weird, killing a goat. But it's really nice. Now, see, all of that green negative energy really it feels gone.
And now we can perhaps take the goat eggplant and fry it up.
Well, we hope that it is beneficial for the people that are nearby. There is always a little bit of danger when you find an animal that is dead. Consuming it is dangerous.
Definitely risky, but I feel so light now. I feel as if some of my worries have slipped and fallen.
And I caution those locals not to be afraid. Indeed, the head may be an eggplant, but it is still a goat.
I think maybe it would be time for us to pour a soda and to take one last caller. Let's bring another caller on the air. Caller, marhaban.
Yes, I'm caller number 2.
Yes, welcome back, caller.
And I'm wondering what the other caller thinks about her own show.
I'm not sure.
Has she written about it in her book?
Caller 1?
Can she tell me how many words grasshoppers have?
Caller 1.
I believe they have 6.
As I'm not following.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Also,
you have not read the chapter, The Loving Embrace.
Well, I thought for a moment that all of my troubles had been gotten away, but I am quite baffled at this point as well.
No,
this is not unusual when one has found oneself to have been eaten by a sandwich.
Caller, I wonder if you joined us, even though you joined us somewhat late, if you joined us in sacrificing the goat. Caller, we maybe lost the caller.
I have feelings for that goat.
Caller.
All of us have feelings in that goat.
Sylvia!
Caller.
Who is Sylvia?
Caller, you are the goat. So let's say goodbye. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time.
So unhappily does time slip away from us.
So, ma'salama to Aurora.
Namaste.
And to Zorro.
Thank you for having me on the show, and thank you as always to all of the listeners out there.
And to Erno.
I happily bleat my goodbye.
Thanks to our many callers, and apologies to anyone we were unable to get to. I am Dr. Janice Sakran, transdermal mediator here on Music for Human, WMBR Cambridge, 88.1 FM, here every Friday at 7 p.m. Stay tuned for Radio Ninja. Ma'a salama.
Safety.
Number 1.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first, before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
He came from outer space to save the human race. A creature with a dream. To entertain the children of the night. The rest, as they say, became history.
Magogo. The Show Show. Saturdays, 8 p.m. WMBR, 88.1 FM, Cambridge. Rob.